From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we commence another week of broadcasting here on Let the Bible Speak. It is good that you're in our audience today, and I trust the Lord will have a message for you as we continue with the subject that we commenced last week from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. We are thinking, as we go through this first chapter of Colossians, we're thinking of wonderful redemption, redemption through Christ's blood. Paul speaks of God's dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're returning to that text this week and starting in just a few minutes in today's broadcast. But first, we have our daily devotional, which comes today from Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The subject is Satan silenced. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Have you ever felt your way in prayer or in witnessing blocked by some persistent accusation of the devil? Have you ever known an inward turmoil as some unseen enemy strikes despair into your heart and arouses your conscience to tell you that you can never get through to God, or you have no right to speak on His behalf to men? Who among us hasn't had this experience? The resurrection of past sins and the reiteration of present unworthiness are potent weapons in the devil's arsenal. However, there is a way of victory. He can be effectively silenced, and Revelation 12, verse 11 shows how. First, we must learn that Satan's arguments and accusations are silenced by the blood of Christ. That is the objective ground of our victory. The blood has covered our sins from the sight of God and has purchased our entire acceptance with God. We are justified, says Romans 5, verse 9, by Christ's blood. There's no better way to silence Satan than to plead the blood of Christ. Second, we must use the word of their testimony in Revelation 12, 11, means the word of God to which they bear testimony. The argument of Scripture has power to silence and subdue every accusation of the devil. Let us learn to preach the truth of God's Word to our own souls, testify to its truth, and personally stand upon it. It will give victory over Satan. Finally, this victory is ours in every conceivable circumstance. Even the martyrs are reckoned to have enjoyed it in the loss of their lives. Since the blood gives us victory, we recognize that death is not defeat. Thus, we hold loosely to life and the things of time, abandoning ourselves to God and to His will. The devil can do nothing to hurt people like that. People who live by faith in the power of the blood of Christ and by faith in the Word of God. Our thought for the day is, though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood, every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with His blood.
Thank you.
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak Quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get on our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. As we return to our Bible study in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, we pick up where we left off last week. But first, I think we'd be as well to get in mind the general theme. God's people, according to this text, have redemption and remission of sins by the virtue of Christ's person and the merit of his blood. We started off by looking at the essence of redemption and the elements in redemption. The next great theme is, of course, the experience of redemption, in whom we have redemption. It is our present possession here and now. So, to cover that ground today, let's turn to the Word of God in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14.
Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read a brief portion. We're going to commence at verse 9 and read to the end of verse 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord,
unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. We are coming to part two of a message on Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The subject, quite simply, is wonderful redemption. And I summarized the overall message of this text this morning by saying that it teaches that God's people have redemption and remission of sins by virtue of Christ's person and by the merits of Christ's precious blood. That's the teaching of the text. I want to repeat something just to put everybody in the picture. That though this is such a brief text, the message is absolutely immense. That the message of redemption is the heartbeat of the entirety of Scripture. That this is the theme that integrates all the various parts of Scripture. God's purpose of redemption is the central purpose revealed in the Bible. As Presbyterians, we believe, I'll go even more radical than that and say as Bible believers, we believe. Now, there are some Bible believers who haven't yet graduated to understanding this. They'll either get educated here or glorified and see it in heaven. But as Presbyterian Bible believers, we believe that the unfolding drama of Scripture is the unfolding drama of redemption. That it is the unfolding of the covenant of redemption that God laid down with Christ from the countless ages of eternity. So that when we read in Christ we have redemption, we are getting to something so important, so vast, that it lies at the very heart of Christianity. Now, this morning we looked at the essence of redemption, and there we took a quick excursion through the Old Testament and the fundamental meaning that's incorporated within the term, because this is an Old Testament teaching that is brought into the New Testament, and it's certainly enlarged and it's expounded in the New Testament, but you cannot divorce the New Testament teaching from the Old, and it would be a mistake simply to concentrate on the Greek terms that are used in the New Testament as if they were not meant to be an exposition of what's laid forth in the Old Testament. So looking at that cargo of ideas from the Old Testament, I pointed out the essence of redemption. It is a redemption of people out of slavery. It is a redemption of property. That is, it is the recovery of a lost or a forfeited inheritance. Then from that we drew the four elements in redemption. There's the element of freedom. freedom from the guilt and curse and condemnation and dominion of sin. Then there's the element of forgiveness. There is the release of our sins where God has let them go and removed them from us. Then there is the thought of fullness. When he brings us out of slavery, there is a mighty work of restoration into the fullness. We were reading this tonight. Paul's desire that they might live filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because fullness belongs to the redeemed. And then there is the idea of our future. There is in redemption a pledge of a glorious security for time and for eternity. Now, those are the elements. Now we come to some of the actual wording of the text. And we will come first to think of the experience of redemption. In whom, that is in Christ, in the Son of God's love, we have redemption. Obviously, this is a statement that brings us out of the realm of mere theology. To understand the proper dictionary meaning of the word mere, it is not to make little of theology. It's the same idea. I don't often quote C.S. Lewis. He was not an evangelical. He was not a Bible believer. And I can't understand the love affair that Bible believers have with a man who denigrated some of the most precious things of our faith. But I'm not going to get into that tonight. That's just a sideswipe. I'm very tempted, mind you. But when he wrote the book Mere Christianity, the word mere has the idea of pure Christianity, fundamental Christianity, getting to essential truth. And I'm using the term mere theology in a similar fashion. But this lifts us out of mere theology into the realm of theology applied, where we come into our own experience. Now here we have got to stop at the very threshold. And we have got to say this, that no matter how pure your system of belief, no matter how biblical your theology, no matter how precise you are in adhering to the terminology and the teaching of Scripture, unless it is by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit brought into your life as a vital experience, it has no saving power. Let's understand that. Some people object to the expression dead orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is wonderful. The only alternative to orthodoxy is heterodoxy. Why would anybody want to be a heretic? I have the greatest esteem for Christian orthodoxy. I detest innovation in the realm of biblical teaching. There is no room for human ingenuity, human inventiveness when it comes to Bible doctrine. We are orthodox. By the grace of God, that's where we're going to stay. But nonetheless, the term dead orthodoxy is one that we should pay attention to, because it is possible to fall in love with a system without a corresponding experience of the Savior. It's very interesting when you read church history to see how this plays out. The greatest opponents of the evangelical Presbyterians in the Church of Scotland were people who were called moderates. You must not import into the term as it was used of them all that that term connotes today. These moderates were people who in many, many cases could tick off all the points of orthodoxy. But they opposed a vital experience of saving grace. We have redemption, says Paul. We're talking now about the application and the enjoyment of the merits and power, the vital reality of the work of Jesus Christ to our hearts in a way that causes us to know it and live in the joy thereof. We have redemption. You immediately will see that this is a present possession. We have it. Let me emphasize that. The Lord says, and we read this morning in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee." We have been redeemed. This is something that has happened. The results of it are ongoing. Our knowledge of it, our enjoyment of it should be increasing. But the truth is, our redemption is an accomplished redemption. And it's a present possession for the people of God. And we know it. Now this gets into an area that I am really only going to touch on because it would take me much too far afield. And that is the area of assurance. People who can say, "We have redemption," are saying, "We're saved and we know it. We know it. We have redemption. There is a certainty about this. There is an assurance about this. We have this. We possess this here and now."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.